47 million people expected to hit the roads for the July 4th weekend.
For the July 4th weekend. It'll be the second most traveled weekend in Illinois since 2019. So people are back to moving around.
Travel is back, but this is all kind of coming to us as we hear about American Airlines canceling hundreds of flights and some other sort of disruptions with staffing issues. Let's talk to CBS travel editor Peter Greenberg, also host of Eye on Travel here. You can listen to him on Saturdays here on GN Radio. Peter, how do these two things go together? All these people traveling, and yet we hear flight cancellations. Should we be concerned? How does it go?
Well, they don't go together. That's the point. We have this crazy intersection of the pent-up demand being displayed, and that's running smack into staffing shortages, bad organization, and a mess at the airports, a mess on the in the hotels, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. A mess at rent-a-cars as well. And everything happened for a reason. The reason, believe it or not, was anticipated, and yet they didn't adjust quickly enough. And one of the reasons why they didn't adjust quickly enough is that everybody knew travel was going to come back. I don't think anybody was going to argue that. I don't think anybody in the travel providing department felt it was going to be coming back this quickly. Well, it has. And it's growing almost exponentially. And that's why it's not just 47 million people on the road over July 4th. It's all those other people trying to get through airports.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And it is staffing. Is that the issue with, like, American says they're canceling hundreds of flights? TSA says they're down, I think, staff too, right?
Oh, they are. Well, American, here's the situation. American really doubled down. It's not a question of whether or not you're returning to your original schedule before the pandemic. American added to that schedule when they came back. They pulled every plane off the ground that was parked and announced dozens and dozens of new routes. Here's the problem. They didn't bring their furloughed pilots back fast enough to give them the required recurrent training that they have to have on the ground and in the simulators before they're allowed to get back in the cockpit. That's standard operating procedure at any airline for any aircraft type. And so as a result, for, let's say, a 737, a pilot doing recurrent training has to spend 2 days in the classroom and 3 days in the simulator before getting back in the cockpit. You multiply those number of days by the number of pilots they need to get recertified, now you know why they're canceling hundreds of flights.
Are the price of flights going up, too? Is it getting more costly to fly?
Well, I'll put it this way. You and I did the show, oh, God, when we first did it about 8 or 9 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I told you about a fare that I paid on American Airlines to go from Los Angeles to New York, and it was a whopping $92. Go back and price that fare today. It could be as high as $860.
Jeez.
I can tell you this. I'm talking to you right now. I'm on assignment here in Qatar, in Doha, and the airfare and coach from New York to Doha is less expensive than the airfare from New York to Los Angeles. That should tell you where airfares are going.
It does, and I did steal one of your tricks that you told me, I think, 9 weeks ago. You said that if you have miles, and I don't have that many, but if you have miles, use them because those are available right now when you see an expensive plane ticket. We went out to the national parks, and I had flew back from Jackson Hole, and they were very expensive tickets to Chicago. I used 25,000 miles, and boom, it was, free. Or $7, I think it was, tax, right, or something.
Nothing is really free, because how much money did you spend to get to those $25,000? But at least you got a chance to finally redeem them.
Well, but I didn't pay $700 or whatever it was for the flight. It was pretty expensive, you know?
Exactly.
So it was a nice trade for me.
I agree.
Hey, talk about hotels, too. I have a friend who works downtown in one of the hotels, and she just told me that it's not an uncommon thing. We're hearing so much about trying to get workers to come back, certainly happening in the hotel industry. She said that typically a cleaning person will have 14 hotel rooms. Right now at her particular hotel, they're doing 20 rooms each. And now the managers are having to clean rooms as well because they just simply can't get workers. She's doing three different jobs because they don't have the normal people to fill those. And I wonder, is this driving up hotel costs, the cost of a hotel room? How is this affecting the traveler other than service?
Well, the cost of a hotel room will be driven by supply and demand. The problem is, can they sustain that room itself physically? I was just in a room in a hotel in Alabama, a Hilton hotel, about 3 weeks ago, and there was no housekeeping staff. How about that? Zero. I was also at a Marriott property, and they only had one woman working at the restaurant, and she was doing 2.5 shifts a day. That's almost, it's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
People are not coming back to work. So while states have changed their regulations and allowing the travel sectors to come back at 100% capacity, they can't sustain that from an operational point of view because they literally do not have the people. So it's one thing to get a great hotel room rate. It's another thing to get a room at all. But before you do it, you better call the hotel and ask them, do you have a housekeeping staff? Do you have anybody working in the restaurant or the bar? Anybody at the pool? Because if there's nobody there, your experience just got, you know, it just got deteriorated big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you on that. It's not the kind of thing you're normally going to be asking, but maybe it is something you want to ask, especially if, you know, you're going on a holiday and you just want to relax. You don't want to be dealing with some of that stuff, just to see. Hey, I got to ask you,
actually,
Peter. Oh, go ahead. No, did you want to put a fun point on?
I was about to say, these are questions. Well, yeah, I was going to say, these are questions you should be asking anyway, before the pandemic and now, especially now.
Yeah, I never asked if there was a cleaning person before. I never asked if, you know, hey, I kind of assumed that was there when you checked into a hotel, that you had that kind of thing that went along with it. But now concierges, not necessarily if you use them, cleaning or anything like that, all the extras, it seems to me like you better ask. Hey, I got to ask you about the cruise lines, too, because apparently, what do you got, Celebrity Cruise is about to set sail June 26th. Most of the passengers fully vaccinated, but they're kind of treating you a little different if you're not, I think, right? You got to wear a mask and some other things.
They are, but we are getting to the point where, you know, regardless of what the governor of Florida or the governor of Texas is saying, the cruise lines and the passengers will speak very clearly about this. They want to be vaccinated. And look, the crew is vaccinated, the officers are vaccinated, and the passengers should be vaccinated. And if I have a choice between going on a cruise where it's 100% vaccination compliance or vaccination optional, which one am I going to pick? I think I'm going to do the 100%. Mm-hmm. And the industry is going to go in that direction with or without any fights that they're having with two particular state governors.
Are they going to bring back the buffet? You know how the buffets are so big on the cruises. Can they do that in this environment?
As a matter of fact, they have brought back the buffet, but they've redesigned it. Hmm. I was just on one of the cruise ships, the Celebrity Millennium, and of course, you know, you check out to see if the buffet is there. It is. However, you're not holding a plate. You're not holding a utensil. Every food station is staffed by a crew member, properly attired. And you point to what you want, and they plate it for you, and then they give you the plate. Two things happen there. Of course, from a public health issue, that's a great idea. And second of all, from a diet issue, it's a great idea because I'm not overloading my plate, if you know what I mean.
I totally know what you mean. Everything looks good, so you want a little one of everything. The buffet is not necessarily good for the diet. Hey, question for Peter. Anna, is it safe to assume there won't be any lower ticket prices based on the 60-day out concept? At this time, is it? What would you advise people trying to book some sort of travel looking forward?
Right now, I would look at September, and we're almost getting to that 60-day part. Look at the 60-day out from September, about, you know, the day or two after Labor Day, but you can book that now. You will see lower prices at that point. But the summer is going to be full speed ahead, everything full. Airlines are already full, if not overbooked. National parks already booked or if not overbooked. And of course, the rental car situation, atrocious. We already know about the hotel. So smart travelers now, this is the time to book for September, October, November, December. The summer months are incredibly bad now. And one more thing, if you're thinking of going overseas and you either have to get a renewal on your passport or you need a new passport, you might as well give up that thought because the passport offices are so overwhelmed right now. The expedited service, if you want it right away, it's 6 weeks. Otherwise, it's 4 months. So plan ahead.
Where can we go now as Americans? I know you're in Doha. I don't know if there's special rules for you because you're Peter Greenberg, but where can we go?
Well, no special rules for me. I've got to play by the rules. And the rules are you've got to show a negative COVID test to get on the plane and your vaccination cards as well. And, of course, to return to the United States, we all have to get a negative COVID test within 72 hours of our return. So the world has really opened up. I mean, the European Union, all 27 countries are opening up to vaccinated Americans. And in many cases, they're just open up to Americans who can show a negative COVID test. You will not have to quarantine. you actually get a chance to go to Europe this summer. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Hey, a couple of questions here about plane tickets. Can you still make all those changes? Is there still that flexibility available for you?
Yes, and that allows you to roll the dice. The airlines last year eliminated those draconian ticket change fees, so you can, with confidence, book a flight on a U.S. carrier and know that if you have to change it, they're not going to hit you with a ticket change fee that in many cases will wipe out the total cost of your original ticket. You'll be able to use those funds on another ticket. So that is good news, and I especially encourage people to book with a U.S. carrier if you want to go overseas for the exact same reason.
Peter, can I get you to weigh in? What do you think is causing this huge surge in unruly passengers? 3,000 reports, huge increase over other years. There, you know, the feds are getting involved, saying we want to make sure people know there are federal penalties. It's turned into such a big deal. Why is that?
Well, of the more than 3,000 cases that the FAA is reporting, almost 2,000 of them are for refusal to wear masks and people getting violent about that. What's compounding the issue, and what has always been a problem, except it's never been more of a problem than now, is one word, alcohol. In so many of these cases, alcohol was involved, and people, even people getting on the plane already tanked, or people drinking on the flight. There's a reason why Southwest Airlines has not resumed their alcohol service. American has done the same rule. They're not returning it right away, because nothing, you know, think about this. Alcohol altitude inside an aluminum cylinder at 35,000 feet. What could go wrong? Well, we're watching it now. And you have to be serious about this, because there are not just civil penalties. The FAA can fine you up to $52,000 per incident per passenger, but there are criminal penalties as well. It's not about just getting banned from the flight. It's about silver handcuffs, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. Have you witnessed it personally? You must have, because you travel so much.
I have. And it's not pretty. Although I will tell you that the passengers are not sitting in their seats when this happens. They're getting involved, and they're doing a lot of the work in restraining these passengers, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for your time, Peter. Good advice, good information, as always. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Good talking with you. That's Peter Greenberg, CBS travel editor. You can catch him here on WGN Radio, Eye on Travel, his show this Saturday from 1 to 4.